I mean, we're taking up, I think, our special contribution is on the first Sunday in October. I didn't actually put the day down now. I know it's emailed out every week in the normal announcements. I think it's either the 2nd or the 8th of October. The 2nd of October. What we want to do tonight is two things. One is, I want to talk a bit about special contribution. One is the 2010 special contribution, what that went for. And then 2011, what that will be going for. And then for us to be able to pray together in our small groups. And if you're visiting with us, you'll just join us. Please join us for that. And pray through each of these things, because there's some big things that we're going to be talking about tonight. In 2010, basically we collected special contribution for mainly three things, although number three says one as well. That is just a typo. One was operating costs, in other words, for us to make all our financial obligations as a congregation, which we are very strongly going in that direction, and that's going very well. Number two was leadership training and development for a number of the Southern Africa church leaders that we obviously in the beginning of the year got Harlem and Vanya Salim from Indonesia that came here. I don't know if you guys can remember them, but it was just a superb time to have them. Then obviously we invited leaders from Harare, Zimbabwe, from Bulawayo, from Lusaka, Zambia, from Angola, from Durban, PE, Umtata, and we paid for all of these guys to be able to come here and to be able to experience it with us and to be able to be blessed as we and ourselves have been blessed in many ways when people have sent speakers here for us. And it was a great time just to see the church rally together for that, not only financially, but people hosting these different people in the beginning of the year, how many memories were built. I think Orette took something like 400 photos of it all. And to be able to just every morning, we met for leadership meetings with Harlem and Vanya and with these different leaders. So every morning, see the faces just sort of, people just feeling super, super inspired. And I think that was something that had absolute lasting impact on them. And what most of the leaders shared with me was more than just the lessons that they learned, was they felt the generosity and warmth and love of the congregation of making that possible for them made an even bigger impact on them, and that is something that they would want to pay forward. And obviously that's what we wanted to do, and we were able to see that happen in the beginning of this year. The third thing that now unfortunately says one again, was we obviously pray together. And if you're anything like me, sometimes what I do, unfortunately, I have to say, is that I pray for stuff, I plead urgently, it happens, and I actually even forget that I prayed for it because it didn't necessarily happen the next day. Okay, maybe you can't relate to that at all. You're just godly people that just, see it thankful and everything with it. But one of the things that we broke up in little groups for and prayed for was that God would help us to be able to hire a campus intern from the United States. And at that stage, Lisa and I were trying to get connected to different people and be able to see someone come down and serve in that capacity. And at times, at that time when we prayed, there was great potential, and then that potential faded a week later. But we continued to pray for it. And then obviously Laura got connected to us and has been with us since January. As she shared the other day, since the time that we spoke to her on the phone and sort of said, hey, what does it look like, and sort of liked her. We spoke through different things, said, can you be in South Africa in 3 weeks? Get a visa and sort of uproot and do all those things, and we're looking forward to see you. And God really blessed that in a tremendous way, and she has been able to just do a tremendous job on campus, but not only campus, but also started serving in the singles ministry and leading the singles ministry in the congregation. And so what I'm saying is that what you go for went a long way, okay? And lives are impacted and changed by it. And my fear is that when it comes to things like giving, that we just give, but we don't remember why we give. And we don't remember what it's all about. Meaning that it's more than, I know people in churches, usually people, and if you're visiting with us tonight, we're a family and we sort of talk about anything. That's sort of we do. And I know, and often in church settings, people don't like talking about money. I personally have no problem doing it because I feel it's an absolute biblical topic. The Bible talks about it all the time. And then for us to be able to win souls, expand God's kingdom, and influence people, it's going to take resources. But for us to do it spiritually, thoughtfully, prayerfully, not just, oh, it's that time of the year again, oh, yes, I've saved for it, or yes, that's the one I'm going to do it. But no, that we will spiritually engage in it, study the matter, put it before God, especially the things that we want to talk about in 2011. So 2011, what do we want to see happening in 2011? Look at my notes, look different than this, but that's okay. Three things that we wanted to go for. Again, there's a one at the end. Okay. But three things we want to see it go for. One is missions. Two is shepherding. And three is the kids zone. Okay, we're going to be praying about those three things tonight. But before we do, I want to break them down and talk through each of them. Missions. Because I only have about 25 minutes to do this talk, all the scriptures today. Can you guys see over me? Can you clearly see that? Oh, it's on the sides there as well. Look at that. That was also special at some point. Okay. I've put all the scriptures on PowerPoint for tonight. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing.'" This, for me, is most probably one of the first times that God sort of points towards what we're supposed to do. Even in the Old Testament with Abraham, he says, "I want you to leave everything. Give up everything." Does that sound familiar? Go anywhere. Do anything. Now, this was not just the Jesus thing. God said that to Abraham. He said, "I want you to leave your people, your country, everything. And I'm going to show you a land. I'm going to give you a land. And I'm going to bless you in a tremendous way. And you will be a blessing." And I believe that that was, again, pointing, obviously, to Jesus and the church, that he would bless us spiritually, but that we would be a blessing to others. That the church would never become some form of private party where, hey, it's going great with us. Are we loving life and being part of God's kingdom and a great brotherhood and sisterhood of believers, and we're there for one another and we're loving one another and we're experiencing God's grace and his promises and his gifts and everything is just awesome, but we don't pay it forward. Now, one is we need to pay it forward locally here in Cape Town, but we're also a church that believes in the Great Commission where Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." That we need to be making disciples of all nations. In other words, in South Africa, it's not a white church, a black church, a color church. It is an all nations church in the one nation. But beyond our borders, we need to be making disciples of all nations. And obviously, that's what we're about. It's the International Churches of Christ. But what role can we play in that financially? What we have obviously shared before is that we want to be able to support the church in Harare, Zimbabwe. Now, to tell you a little bit about it, the population of Harare specifically is 2.5 million people. The church there currently has 223 members in it, and it's led by David and Barbara Gadongwe. They are the only couple in the full-time ministry. They've done a phenomenal job. He actually went to the ministry about 3-4 years ago, was actually working for the army at that time, how old was he, this James now? I think he was in his late 40s or early 50s, something like that, when he went into the ministry, full-time ministry for the first time. And sort of a plea that they've had is they need help with more hands, another couple in the ministry. And so the powers to be and different people that play that role found this couple, Benny and Irene Swade. They live in Lusaka, Zambia. And are able to move to Zimbabwe and help the church there and also receive further training by David and Barbara. Benny and Irene have been Christians for just over 10 years. They've been married for 6 years, and they have two kids, a boy, Balitsu, that's 5, and Ruth, that is 3 years old. They've been in the ministry of those 10 years of being disciples. They've already been in the ministry in Lusaka for 6 years and are willing and able and eager to be able to go and support the church in Harare. And we have been able to hire another couple, Steve and Carol Mokenwe, I don't think that's the right pronunciation, but from Kenya, to go to Lusaka, Zambia. Now, again, that's not someone else is sponsoring that, what have you. But here's what we want to do, is we want to be able to hire Ben and Irene for the Harare Church and support the church financially to be able to do so. One is to be able for them to move from Lusaka to Harare and then to support them financially. Our aim and goal is for the next 3 years. Now, our collection this year will only go for the next 12 months. But we want to, again, next year do the same thing, and then third year the same thing. So at this stage, what we're saying to them, what we want to commit ourselves to, but we need obviously prayer and we need this financial support of the congregation, is to be able to do so over a 36-month period. And that doesn't even mean it's the end. It means then that's what we are committed to, and as it goes, we want to see how we can expand, because we want to be a church that has been blessed to be a blessing. And I believe God has blessed us tremendously as a congregation in so many ways. So that's prayer request number one, is missions, specifically to be praying for Benny and Irene and for their kids and for Harare. And what we want to do as well is we want to build a relationship with the congregation there. They're currently, the church is looked after by Durban, and that the relationship is wonderful and is going to continue. We just want to be a friendly cousin. And what we want to do is we want to be able to actually see if we can also, from missions, send some campus students from here to there for maybe 2 weeks over a campus holiday, and see if it can bridge in a way where their campus would be running while ours is on holiday, to be able to go and help their campus ministry. And the same with marriage counseling or whatever it is. We've not worked out all the detail yet, but it's going to take money to do so. And so that's thing number one that we want to be praying for. Secondly, what we're looking for, and this is a big ask and a big prayer, we're looking for a shepherding couple to move from the United States to Cape Town for a year. From the hope is, and the prayer is, from February next year to November, December, end of 2012. Okay. If I say shepherding couple, let me give you an idea of what it is, the kind of person that we're looking for. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife." What the correct translation of that would be, he only has his eyes on his wife. Okay, so in case you thought there were multiple marriages. So the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how then can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. Pretty hectic stuff. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So what we are looking for is we're looking for an elder-like couple. They do not have to be elders, but elder-like. In other words, we've had, obviously previously this year, I don't know if you guys can remember Ron and Linda Brumley. What we're looking for is one of two possibilities, really. One is for someone that has been Christians for 20, 30 years, either all or most of their children are Christians, and if be that they've served actually an eldership role for 10 years plus. That's one option. The second option that we're looking for is someone that is maybe just more mature, in other words, towards the end of their 50s, have been a Christian for 20 to 40 years and have been in the ministry for 20 to 30 years. Okay? So you get the point of what I'm trying to say, mature, with the idea that when when we, I'll get to that point just now, okay, before I go there. So that's what we're going to be praying for. Now, this is not just a pipe dream. I've obviously been starting to have conversations with people. And everyone is not necessarily that eager, as you can imagine, to just up and go and move to Africa. And reason being is that they are fully utilized in their current setting. And that there are tons of churches. There are 550 churches in our fellowship of churches that all need this kind of thing. So we want to be praying for that. One is that we would have a couple. And then two, that we would be able to bring them over here and obviously hire them in the ministry with us for a 10 to 12 month period. What would they do? One is shepherd the ministry staff team. In other words, that we want them to serve in the role where they would be able to shepherd and nurture and mature the leadership team. Two, to raise up 3 to 4, start in the process of, and that doesn't just happen in 12 months, to help us to train 3 to 4 shepherding couples of our own. Now, again, I'm talking about 20, 30 years experience. You don't just become a shepherd in 12 months. But what we do believe they can help us and assist us with is to be able to set into motion the training of 3 to 4 couples, because we're only looking at a 10 to 12 month period. That's option one. I'll tell you option two just now. A period. And then obviously if they depart, we want there to be an effect. Now, the other option that we do have and what we're also looking at and talking to is that if we can't get someone for that period, what we also want to see if we can get people consistently for short periods of time. In other words, maybe get someone to come for 6 weeks, 2 weeks at a time, 3 times through the year. Or do that 4 or 5 times, again, to build some form of continuity and consistency. But so job number two would be raise up 3 to 4 shepherding couples. Job number three would be to help us establish healthy Christian family values and principles. In other words, that the DNA of who we are in our marriage and in our parenting and in our home are godly men and women. And here's the point that I want to mention before, where people ask me advice on parenting, and I can give you sort of shoot from the hip up to age 8. Okay, because that's how my oldest daughter is. I can give you a little bit of advice on some of the older situations just because of some experience through the last 15 years in the ministry with working with different people. what I'm hoping and praying for is that when you come with a situation that is sort of fairly unique and you feel like, man, I really don't know how to deal with it, that we're looking for a couple that has seen that situation 50 to 100 times. And that have seen people make different choices in that situation and are able to tell you where they landed. So in other words, if you want to follow choice A, there's no guarantees. But people that follow choice A, this is where it landed for them. And we've seen this. This wasn't just what we read in the book or experienced once or twice. We have seen this again and again and again. Okay? But we want to be able to build a culture in our family and our families and our congregation where we're like in Singapore at this stage, 80% of the teens that graduate in the church are disciples. 80% of the kids by the time they graduate high school are disciples. But it's not a teen ministry that does that. Sure, a teen ministry is part of it, but it is from baby. As a matter of fact, it's before baby. It's your marriage. So we can't act in an ungodly way in our marriage and then suddenly pull it together when we have children. It's got to be all the way. And so job number three, these would be the three main things that we would like to, obviously, lots of help and guidance with to see happen. And number three, you could say, help us to build faith at home. One of the greatest mistakes that we make is we think that because we are Christians and our kids come to Kids Zone to Sunday school, that they would become Christians through Sunday school. And that is not a very biblical idea. If you look at what the Bible teaches, the Bible speaks a lot more about faith at home. In other words, what do you do at home? At Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Moses gives them the charge of what they need to be doing with their kids, they say, you got to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it says, the things that have become part of you, teach them to your kids. And it says, whenever you sit down, whenever you lay down, whenever you get up, whenever you walk along the road, not whenever you take them to church. But Christian character and heart for God gets developed at home. So that's number two. I might sort of big point on that. But a shepherding couple. We want to be praying for that and want to ask that we'll pray for that tonight. Number three, although it's the parents, each parent's responsibility to raise our kids, we do believe that we partner with the church in doing so. One, in being able to equip the parents fully, but also with Kids Zone. And Luke chapter 18, verse 15, says, people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the little children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Okay, how did Jesus feel about children? He loved kids. And I love my own kids. Jesus loved everybody's kids. It is so easy to get busy with what we do. Busy, even in the fellowship as a church, and the kids come and they want to talk to us while we're in the fellowship, and it's easy to push them away. Okay, Jesus loved kids. He said, no, don't push them away. Let me bring them over here. The kingdom belongs to kids, the people that have hearts like these little kids. And so Kids Zone is of the highest priority to us. And so what we want to go leg 3 year for special contribution is to collect money for development of the Kids Zone. Okay? And I think the Kids Zone has grown tremendously over the last couple of years, but believe that it can do so more and more. One of the challenges that we have faced over the last 18 months, as we have looked at Kids Zone and as we've tried to steer and help and encourage, was the need to see that it is hard to lead the whole thing as a volunteer. Meaning that you only have that amount of hours. You only have that amount of capacity. And what from James and my side, what we've been asking has been beyond the capacity of a volunteer. And one of the other things that we obviously have seen is that we've seen the same thing with the compassion ministry. How for months we've tried to get it going. But volunteers, and I was part of that committee with super good hearted people, great plans. But you need feet on the ground dedicated 24/7 to get it executed. And obviously, earlier on in the year, we were able to hire Irina on a contract basis for that. And has helped us so much. And just connecting with the Healer House, setting different things in motion. We want to do the same with Kids Zone, okay? Actually, as a matter of fact, how things have fallen and landed is that we want to combine the two in a way. And what has happened is, Irina, we hired her for a six-month contract knowing that she would have the possibility to start as a teacher in October, at a school in their neighborhood, which she's going to be doing, and we wish her all the best for that, and we're incredibly thankful for what she's done so far. But one was, we knew that that gap was coming. We knew that what we wanted to do with Kids Zone would require something else and require a full-time person. But what we were looking for was someone with a couple of things, a maturity, but beyond maturity and spiritual maturity and life maturity, what have you, someone with ministry experience. Is what we were looking for, and leadership experience. And so what we've been able to do is, again, on a contract basis, we've been able to hire John Muir in that capacity starting from the 1st of September, which is a couple of days ago. So what John and Irina are going to be doing together, her as a volunteer, him on a contract basis, is continue the leadership of the Compassion Ministry, and then also continue and help a transition of spearheading our Kids Zone into a very powerful direction that we have been dreaming and praying about as a ministry team for a long time, and just didn't have the time, the hands to be able to do so. So that's number three, is Kid Zone. If we don't win our kids, we lose. Meaning it doesn't help we convert the neighbor, but not our own family. Obviously, the cool thing is do both. Okay? And I'm not saying I look out for the neighbor. But what I'm saying is we need to look into our families. And two components to that are shepherding and kids zone. And that's what we want to put before the church. So, in closing from my side, in Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Okay, these things that I shared about tonight have been in the making for most probably, we usually run on average about 12 to 18 months ahead that we try and figure out the future. And plan and try and figure out and move chess pieces around really into how do we see this work and praying, God, please help us, help us, help us. The best plans without God is useless. The most action, we can be laboring financially for this. We can be laboring physically for this in the kids zone, in marriage workshops. And I don't know if you've picked up on that we've tried to put a lot of emphasis on that this year, marriage and parenting workshops. But we can be laboring in those things. If the Lord is not building with us, if the Lord's not building our house, it says the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. What it's saying, if God's not building with us, all our efforts will be in vain. Now, I don't know about you, but I won't work myself to death for nothing. And therefore, we want to ask that tonight, and we're going to have little time for it, as part one, and next midweek part two. That, and maybe we can tackle part one tonight, just the mission part, and then do part two and three next Wednesday to be able to pray for it. But I want to ask that we pour ourselves out before God and say, God, one, help our hearts to be in the giving. And whatever gunk there is inside, whatever selfishness, whatever issues or whatever, that we can get it out and deal with it, but that our hearts will be fully devoted, not to kingdom building first, before we build our own home and our own car and our own furniture. There's nothing wrong with building that stuff, but first kingdom building, to pray about that and to pray about these three things. I want to ask you, not only we want to do it collectively because we want to be before God together, but I do want to beg of you to also do it daily. And put these three things before God. God, please help us as we want to see this happen. We want to extend the blessing beyond ourselves to the mission field, to Harare, Zimbabwe. We need someone that has the experience in a shepherding couple in whatever capacity. First prize, 12 months. Second prize, bits and pieces. Third prize, we don't know what third prize is yet. And then number three, kids zone. Our kids are important. We want to create an environment that would facilitate and help what we do at home, as it has been doing for years, but continue to grow in it, to help them to build intimacy with God, community with one another, and influence their little friends at school as well. Amen. That's it from me. I'm going to ask Jacques to come up. He's going to lead us on how we're going to do this.